It's time to enter Mr. B's neighborhood. Scott Bertelson brings you an interview with a North Iowa neighbor each second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. Find this and other episodes of Mr. B's Neighborhood on our website, KIOW.com. Now here's Scott Bertelson, Mr. B.
Hello, hello, hello. Is anybody out there? Hello, hello. Is there anybody out there in Mr. B's neighborhood? Oh, I see a show of hands. How are you? Nice to see you here. Do you have a couple minutes? If you do, I have a wonderful person today in Mr. B's neighborhood that I would like you to know or meet for the second time or get acquainted with. No, not me. You know me. I'm sorry about that. But I have Pastor Rod Hopp here from Emmanuel Lutheran Church here in Forest City. And he is my guest today. Hello, Pastor Hopp.
Hello, Mr. B.
Oh, he knows my name. Oh, it's such a warming feeling. Okay, so Pastor, thanks for being my guest today, or victim, whichever way you want to look at it. Okay.
You're
so
welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay, so okay, no, in all seriousness, as you should be, Pastor. Okay, so Pastor, I would like to ask you, what made you decide to go into the ministry, please?
Sure. Well, it was a call from God, actually. I was farming. Renee, my wife and I, we were raising our family. And I had a spiritual experience that made me start exploring my faith more. And through that, I came to a place in farming that I was somewhat dissatisfied with. And so as I started to explore, kind of in my late 20s, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? I really felt a call to the ministry. And so we kind of left all that behind and pursued education. And God kept opening doors. And so here we are, yeah.
Wow. How long were you a farmer, Pastor?
Yeah, so I farmed for about 13 seasons, is what I like to say. Right after high school, I started farming with my dad on the dairy farm, and that was a good season of life. That's where we had our five children, and kind of gave birth, figuratively and literally, to our family. And I enjoyed the working with animals and that sort of thing, but wasn't a great crop guy, you know. I was okay, but that wasn't my strength. My strength was with the animals and working with animals, and really enjoyed that. But again, this call to ministry kind of interrupted that life and sent me in a new direction.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have any feelings for going back to the farm? Or
I would
like when you retire, Pastor, if you ever do.
Yeah, we live on an acreage, and I really love that. But to go back to farming today, it has changed so much. The financial obligation or commitment to do that would be out of my range.
But So
I would say I probably just have more fond memories of that time of life, and really appreciation for people who do that kind of work today.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
They feed the world, you know.
They do.
And they do it at great expense to themselves.
They do. They do. So, Pastor, when you left the farm with your family, where did you go to seminary at?
Yeah, so I hadn't done college yet. So
I see.
We left the farm in Western Iowa and moved to Waverly, Iowa, and I did my four-year degree at Wartburg College.
Yes.
Did that in 3 years, and then from there we moved to Columbus, Ohio. And I attended Trinity Lutheran Seminary for 4 years. Got to experience the big city, you know, and that was kind of good, too, for a while. For just a season. I'm not a big city kind of guy, but I always said if I had to live in a city, Columbus wasn't bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then, Pastor, you graduate, so to speak, from seminary.
Right.
What is your history then of congregations that you've had?
Sure, I graduated from seminary in the year of 2000.
Okay.
And I was called to Trinity Lutheran in Belmont, Iowa. That was my first call, so not far from here.
Mm-hmm.
Good people there, had a good ministry of almost 6 years, and really enjoyed that first call.
Mm-hmm.
following that, I was called to be an associate pastor in St. John's Lutheran Church in Council Bluffs.
Oh, okay.
And I kind of went into that thinking I want to try being an associate.
Mm-hmm.
My kids all say kind of after the fact, Dad, we kind of thought that wouldn't be a great idea because you kind of like to be in charge.
Oh, I see.
And as an associate, you're not really in charge.
No.
But it was a good experience.
Okay.
And I learned a lot from being an associate. Mm-hmm. I hope my associates that I get to work with today have a better experience because I got to experience that.
Yeah.
And kind of know what it's like.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, we were in Belmont, then Council Bluffs, and then mm-hmm. here to Forest City.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Pastor, I'm just speaking about this because I don't know how that works.
Sure.
Do you have the choice as to whether or not you stay with the congregation, or does some higher up person in the church say, okay, it's time for you to move on here, or what? Yeah. How does that work, Pastor?
Yeah, in the Lutheran tradition, it's kind of a mix.
I see.
We have, as pastors, we have the ability to what we term as turn in our mobility papers. If we're feeling like it's time to move, or at least we want to explore that or feel called to explore that, we can turn in mobility papers.
Mobility papers.
And then we work with a bishop. The bishops do not tell us whether, when it's time to move or if it's time to move. But we work with them through the power of the Spirit, and we go where God leads us, I suppose, is what we want to say.
Yeah. Always shut off your phone when you're doing a radio program, folks. Okay.
Mine's on, too, but nobody ever calls.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't believe that. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Yeah, we have a lot of freedom. But it also means a lot of discernment also, right?
Yes.
Because we have to be listening
to
our parishioners, to our own heart, to
God,
you know, to God, and
just try
to figure out, you know, where and when we are called to be and to and to follow that call. So it's never easy.
I'm sure it's not. So, Pastor, as a senior pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Forest City, may I ask then what your, so to speak, I don't really like looking at it this way, but your job duties?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah,
I know what you do Sunday. Yes, sure, but
a lot of my kids think that I work on Sunday and I get to goof off the rest of the week. Some of my parishioners think that too. I do a lot of administration. So as the head of staff, I have the honor and the privilege of working with the staff to help keep them motivated, help them accomplish the goals that they have and that the congregation needs from them. But then, of course, I do get to preach on Sundays, and I get to teach. I get to work with people of all ages. I'm the primary visitor to the hospital and that sort of things in times of crisis or emergencies. It's kind of I'm the first call people make, and I think I'm fairly good in those times, but. Those would be some of my responsibilities, working with our church council, the main board of the congregation, to keep the congregation moving forward and kind of discern the direction that we're called to go and to formulate goals and that sort of thing. Those are all things that I get to do, and they do keep me busy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they do, Pastor, but you don't have to punch in, do you, or punch out?
No, I mean, that's the thing about ministry is I do have a lot of flexibility.
Sure.
And that's nice.
Yes.
My wife is sort of envious of that, and I get that, because when you're at a desk or you're in a job from 8 o'clock till 5 o'clock, that you kind of get tied to that, and so... So I do have a lot of flexibility. I try not to abuse that. It's nice. It's nice.
Yes.
And coming out of the farming, it's also nice, because as a farmer, you have to control your own schedule. And
yes, yes, yes.
So that was good training for the ministry.
Yes.
I learned to manage my own schedule and to get my work done without procrastination and those sort of things. So, yeah, farming is really good training for the ministry in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Farming is a great training ground for lots of things in life, Pastor.
It really is.
I mean, that's where I really feel, Pastor, as I grew up on a farm, that's where I learned my work ethic.
Right. Absolutely.
And the flexibility of using my time in certain ways. So just
you
like
have to
you,
roll
Pastor.
Up your sleeves as a farmer and get
you
it
do.
Done. Nobody's going to come and do it for you.
No.
That's for sure. And the same is true with ministry. It's nobody's going to write my sermon for me.
So, no, you just can't buy those off the internet, Pastor.
Well, you can, I guess, today. I don't know that they'd fit the context of Forest City all the time and that sort of thing, but sure.
Oh.
You can even buy your pastor license on the internet today. It's the world has changed in a lot of ways that way.
Yes.
I appreciate the Lutheran tradition of valuing education.
Yes.
And preparing people for ministry, because there is a huge trust in ministry as well.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
One could do a lot of damage to people if their motives weren't right or if their heart wasn't in the right place. So, and we've seen that throughout the years of ministry. And so I appreciate the Lutheran tradition that holds that training and that education and all that development sacred because it's for the good of the church and for
absolutely
for people.
Yes. Yeah. So, Pastor, you mentioned you live on our acreage.
Yeah.
Okay. So, this is just old school for me. Mm-hmm. When I was going to church as a child, Lutheran church, the pastor always lived in the parsonage.
Oh, right.
Okay. Now, did you happen to live in the parsonage, and then you decided you wanted something different, or how does that work, Pastor?
Right. So Emmanuel has two pastors, and
yes.
And I was in the parsonage, and it's a beautiful home.
Yes.
And really served us well.
Yes.
One day, though, I was looking at properties, and one day my wife said to me, if you want to live on an acreage, you should probably do it before retirement, because when you get to retirement
age,
you may not have the energy to do all the stuff that it takes to for upkeep.
Yes, yes.
And
good
so
thinking.
I kind of heard that, and I so this property came up for sale,
okay.
And I asked the church board if they would allow us to move out of the parsonage, and at that time I think we were between pastors, so we thought it might be a good thing that the associate pastor that we would call then could live in the parsonage, and it's really worked out well that
That's
way.
That's so, great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoy. Mm-hmm. I just enjoy being outside, and I can go out on my acreage and do a little project, and it kind of clears my head and that sort of thing.
It's therapeutic. So
it is very therapeutic.
Do you have chickens and ducks?
No,
goats.
I lived
llamas?
With livestock on the farm far too long. We've thought about maybe even a dog, but when you leave, you have to find somebody to care for it, and so we just haven't done the whole livestock thing. Yeah, that's just a memory we want to keep in the past.
Okay, so Pastor, I'm going to segue into this topic. Tell me about your wife. Oh. Tell me about your beautiful wife.
Yeah, oh, golly, we've been married 42 years, I believe.
Congratulations!
Yeah,
wonderful.
Thank you. Renee is her name.
Yes.
She works here in town in an insurance agency. She got into insurance when I was in seminary. That became kind of a career path for her. And it's been good, because wherever we've lived, there's been a need for sales or customer service, whatever.
Yes.
And, so she's been doing that longer than I've been a pastor, actually. So,
oh, my gosh.
She's very good at it. She's a great homemaker, too. We both love being grandparents, She's a really good grandma. Our grandchildren call us Oma and Opa. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's German for grandpa and grandma. So.
I have never heard that before, Pastor. I've heard lots of different terms for grandparents.
Yeah.
That's a new one.
Yeah, so she loves being a grandma. And
of course.
We like to garden and that sort of thing, so she likes to be outside as well. So the acreage works for her as well.
Yeah. Which leads me, of course, to tell me about your wonderful family. Tell me about your children.
Yeah, we have, Renee and I are blessed with five kids. Again, I said we gave birth to them on the farm. And
must have been painful, Pastor,
if
you did it.
They were between middle school and 2 years old when we left the farm.
Okay.
So our oldest son is Nick, and he lives in Minneapolis. He's into the computer security and computer management kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
Married with one child.
Oh,
and
then, okay.
Natasha's our second child. She lives here in Forest City.
Yes.
With her husband and family. They have three children. Those kids are all involved in the school system, and we're having a lot of fun kind of chasing them around and watching them grow. And Katie, our second daughter, third child, is in Clemson, South Carolina with her husband, and they have two boys, so they're very active. And we get to see them four times a year or so, but really good times when we get to go down there.
Oh, I'm sure. Here. Yes.
And then we have Mitchell. He's in Minneapolis with his wife. They got married about a year ago, so they don't have any children at this time, but they're doing well. And then we have Brody, our youngest son, who's married to Krista, and they just had their third son here just last week.
So. Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh. So you are so blessed with a plethora of grandchildren.
We never thought any of those grandchildren would live near us, but it's worked out that they
yes.
do, and that's been a real blessing.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
We couldn't ask for anything better, honestly.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the joys of being a grandparent, Pastor?
You know, the hugs and you know.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, on the acreage, we do some wild things. There's always an adventure at the hop acreage, whether it's a go-kart or, you know, climbing a pile of lumber that I might have sitting around.
Oh, sure.
You know, an adventure through the trees or something, hide and seek. It's there's just so many blessings of being a grandparent.
Can you keep up, Pastor?
No.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
no.
It's a challenge.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
It's a good challenge. I'm up for it, but
yes.
I don't always keep up.
Yes.
And the grandkids do wear us out sometimes.
Oh, of course.
It's a good tired, you know.
I'm sure it is.
You really sleep well at night after the grandkids have been there, so.
I've been told that one of the joys of grandchildren is that you can pamper them and spoil them, but then you can send them home.
That's right.
That's what my parents used to say
Absolutely.
To me.
Mm-hmm. And it's good when you trust their parents and they're doing a good job.
Yes.
Time to go home, kids.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No regrets about being a grandparent.
That's wonderful. Sure. Yeah. So, Pastor, you're tremendously busy at the church, and you have all of these grandchildren and this acreage. Mm-hmm. What do you like to do for fun?
Yeah,
what are your hobbies?
Yeah, well, I do some woodworking. And
okay.
In the past, I've turned logs into lumber, that sort of thing. I had a sawmill. I did just sell that this last summer, but I'd kind of done with what I wanted to with it. But I'm an outdoorsman. I like the hunting opportunities that we have up here, and I like just being outdoors. You know, the trail runs right past our house, so we, you know, I'll jump on the trail and go for a walk or ride my bike or whatever, get over to Pilot Knob, that's just a mile and a half away, and
yes,
so I really enjoy the outdoor opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really, North Iowa is a great place for that.
Yeah, so do you hunt deer, Pastor?
Yeah, I do some deer hunting and
turkey,
some turkey and some pheasant. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bow and arrow or with a...
You know, I always say I have a hard enough time getting close enough with a gun. I'm not sure how the bow hunting would go, but it'd definitely be an advantage to the deer. Oh, yeah.
Well, that is great. Okay, so, Pastor, what are your future aspirations, if I may ask you? I mean, how long do you somewhat see yourself in a pastoral type position, or would you like to do something else, or is that secret information, or what, Pastor?
Yeah.
Or are you content?
It is secret, only in the sense that God hasn't told me yet.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I said when I came to Forest City that I really wasn't planning to leave until God drug me out of here.
Right.
Now, I don't know what that meant, except to say that I really wanted to be sure it was God's leading this time, because a six-year tenure in my first call was good.
Yes.
But 3 years in my second call, that was a short you know, short stint.
Yes. Yes.
And I really wanted to kind of root down and just see what God might do with a longer pastorate.
Yes.
And we know that longer pastorates can't be very good for congregations as well. So I'm not in any hurry to go anywhere. I love the area and, I love the congregation.
Yes.
So I just kind of leave that up to God at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with that being said, Pastor, a question that I ask all of my guests, of course, is why do you like living here in the North Iowa area?
Yeah.
What is it that's enticing to you?
That's a really good question.
Well, thank you, Pastor. I worked all day on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I came to Forest City, the development group at the time was doing a survey, mm-hmm. trying to find out how to maybe grow the area in terms of business and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. And I remember one of the findings was that outsiders think more highly of Forest City than kind of the long-term folks who have lived here. At least that's what their survey said. And I think maybe there's some truth to that. I really value Forest City for the quality of life that it offers to mm-hmm. my wife and I, but also our kids and grandkids. And the school system is super positive. And
yes.
So there's just a whole lot I like about it. Although I have to tell you, when I first came back to North Iowa,
yes.
you know, I'd been in Belmont
yes.
and went to Southern Iowa.
Yes, yes, yes.
That first winter, I thought to myself, what in the world was I thinking?
As if you had stayed here, Pastor, you wouldn't have known any difference.
Right, I wouldn't have known any difference. But the winters are more mild in Southern Iowa.
Oh, of course.
But yes. I've adjusted to that, and I love the winter, too. It's okay. I always say, when people ask me about kind of this question,
I say
Forest City is in the middle of everywhere.
Yes.
A lot of people say it's in the middle of nowhere. I say it's in the middle of everywhere. There was a time we had kids in Des Moines and kids in Minneapolis.
Yes.
It was right between.
Yes.
You know, and I kind of still believe that it's in the middle of everywhere.
You know, Pastor, I completely agree with you because you can get on the interstate mm-hmm. not far from us and you can go up 2 hours to Minneapolis or
right.
2 hours to Des Moines. I mean, there's other places you can go to.
Right.
But you're not that removed from, so to speak, civilization.
Yeah.
I mean, we have that here too.
Well, or culture. Or,
yes. Entertainment, whatever.
Yeah. We have our fair share of culture here.
Yeah.
Too,
oh, yes.
College
yes.
College and the,
yes, yes.
the Brick Street Theater.
Yes.
I like those sort of
yes.
What those venues can offer as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's so much to do here in North Iowa if you just open your eyes and look.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
That's it, I think. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, your promo here will entice people to come.
Well, yeah.
Pastor, I've got another question dealing with church.
Okay.
And this is not something that I had asked you beforehand, but when COVID hit,
yeah.
what kind of impact did that have on the church? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, it's a fair question.
Yes.
Because I think every congregation is dealing at some level with the implications of what COVID did. In some ways, it spurred us to do more, to do things that we had contemplated doing, like
yes.
online
yes.
worship and those sort of things. So in some ways, it was good. I
think yes.
the gospel has, the doors have been opened in new ways through the challenges
yes.
that we faced. But it's also, you know, I think the big thing is it has shifted people's patterns. And it's kind of like with exercise. You know, when I get out of the habit, I have to do something to push myself
yes,
back into the habit.
Yes, that's very true.
And I think
yes.
at some level, it's the same with worship. If
yes.
we get out of that habit,
yes.
it's something, we have to do something to kind of get ourselves back into that routine. And
yes.
And I think some people are still struggling with that and just with the, I think it's created, there's still fear in our community of COVID, and I get that at some level from mm-hmm. those who have underlying conditions. So
mm-hmm.
there are people who are still isolating. So it really was a challenge, and I think there are still some of the ramifications that are still challenging to the churches and
mm-hmm.
and to other organizations as well.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think we're unique
no.
in that sense, but
no.
Just getting people out, getting people re-engaged, all of those things have mm-hmm. been a challenge.
Now, Does Emmanuel still have the online worship on Sundays?
We do. We're committed to that. Okay. We have our radio broadcast over KIOW, and we also have a live stream. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Zach, my associate pastor, I'd give him all the credit for that. He's really good with technology, and so the staff has really done all of that, and I would just be lost without them in that sense. So mm-hmm. all the credit goes to them for any advancement in technology.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So with the various denominations in the area, Pastor, is there an association you all are a member of, or do you communicate with each other monthly? Or
yeah. Again, I would say that'd be a victim, in some ways, a victim of the pandemic. We've kind of lost track. We have a ministerial association.
Okay.
But
it's
we've been struggling with that, uh-huh. honestly. I would say we would be looking to revitalize that. But yeah, we do like to communicate with each other. It's helpful if we do and build those relationships. But unfortunately, over the last couple of years, that's been a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say we look to revitalize that mm-hmm. at some point. Because when I'm in a crisis,
yes.
you know, when a crisis
yes,
hits
yes.
at the school.
Yes.
Or in the community, it's good for us to be mm-hmm. together mm-hmm. and to work side by side mm-hmm. because we're all in the same mission, you might say.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
right.
We're all for the betterment
yes.
of people and for mm-hmm. helping our community thrive. And mm-hmm. So I would hope that we can come back together and work together again. And I think there'll be a spirit to do that once we get a little farther down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. So, Pastor, you also mentioned that you were a farmer.
Yeah.
And you had a spiritual awakening, or I'm not trying to put words into your mouth,
yeah.
or, but was that like an instantaneous just, or did this happen over time, or that you had to weigh the pros and cons of deciding to change your whole lifestyle?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had a family, you had a wife, you know,
right.
all these different things.
Yeah. So the spiritual experience itself was in a moment. You know, it was during a worship service, actually,
okay.
where it was like the Word of God spoke to me,
oh.
and my eyes were open to the awesome yes. and amazing grace of God.
Yes.
And so I had a story to tell, but I didn't. But it took a couple of years. I had plans and dreams for the farm, you know, and God kind of had to take me to a place of dissatisfaction where I started to ask, of myself, there must be more to life than this. And so it was out of that place of dissatisfaction and discontent that God really helped me start to explore what else I might do with my life and my gifts. So it was really a two-year process before I kind of discerned that I needed to go back for education, and with that I was thinking that I would go into ministry of some kind. And God just kind of kept opening those doors toward
wow.
the pastoral ministry. And so,
yes.
You know, again, my wife had to trust that I kind of knew
yes.
what I was doing.
Yes.
Like I said, we uprooted
yes.
the family from the farm. My dad was and mother were still living at the time. They
yes.
kind of had to trust that
yes.
not only me, but God, that we knew what we were doing. And, mm-hmm. and it all has worked out. And I have no regrets.
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh, it's got to be so gratifying what you do, Pastor.
Yeah, it is very gratifying. Service careers are a blessing. They're also a burden, but they're very much a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You get to be involved in people's lives
yes.
in ways that
yes.
others don't. And that
yes.
always is a privilege.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Pastor, in our visit today, I've learned so much about you and just really have always respected you tremendously.
Thank you.
As a person and as a pastor. And I want the people in the community to know that we are very fortunate to have you at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. You're my first clergy person that I've interviewed, Pastor.
Oh, well, thank you.
And, but I'm open to all denominations.
Sure. I appreciate the compliments.
Yes.
It's a privilege mm-hmm. for me and for my family to be here
mm-hmm.
and to have been received, you know, as a pastor. Because I always say, I can't make anyone let me be their pastor.
No.
You know, they have to.
Yes.
They have to welcome me with their own heart.
And, yes.
And this community has done that, and we're grateful for that opportunity, and mm-hmm. hope that we continue to do that in a faithful and in a way that blesses others.
Yes. Well, thank you, and bless you, Pastor.
Thank you, Mr. B.
You are welcome. Right. And don't you forget my name there, buddy.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you, Pastor Hopp, and thank you, Forest City community, for everything that you have done for each other. And I hope as you go throughout the week that you take the time to wave at each other and to acknowledge each other and to say hello to each other and to just simply appreciate each other.
Amen to that.
Amen to that, Pastor. So, amen, brothers and sisters, and this is Mr. B out and gone. Bye-bye.
You've just heard another installment of Mr. B's Neighborhood. Tune in to KIOW Mix 107.3 every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. for Mr. B's Neighborhood. Missed a show or want to re-listen to one? Find episodes in podcast form at KIOW.com. It's located on the right-hand side of the homepage. Mr. B's Neighborhood, available at KIOW.com.